noticed it growing up. Maybe you noticed this too, okay? And if it was just me, I guess that's okay. Parents repeat themselves a lot. And I found that I was just like my mom and dad. I start repeating myself an awful lot. Now, I'm not worried about it yet because I repeat myself when others are in the room. But when I start doing it and nobody's around, then you better start praying for me. But moms and dads are always, don't do that, you're going to get hurt. Watch out, okay? That isn't a good idea. You're going to get into trouble. You do this and you'll get sick. And mom and dads were always trying to tell us the rules. And as we grow, we learn what the rules are. Now, what's interesting is being so mobile in my growing up years, I learned rules that are different in Germany than in the United States. I learned rules that are different in California than Louisiana. I learned different rules in Japan that are different here. The rule in Japan, you go in the house, you take off your shoes, right? Now, some people do that here in the United States, but not as many. Because in Japan, everybody does it. And then if you listen to the news and programs enough, you learn that the world is trying to tell you there are rules. If you do this, drink coffee, you'll get cancer. Then the rule changed. Coffee is good for you, a little bit. If you eat chocolate, you'll get hardening of the arteries, right? Then they said, well, dark chocolate now is okay. And the rules keep changing. The things of the world, the things that we know, the things that we are told right and wrong or that we should value, I notice it's inconsistent. Have you noticed that? And the longer we live, the more we spot that. In the days of Paul, God had Paul write down these words to the people at Colossae. The book is called Colossians. And at that time, already Christians were being challenged, that is, tested and lured away from what God says. See, that we have a difficulty, you know, and we have gotten to see it this far after Jesus was on earth. You know, we know that the book of Colossians is the word of God. It's not just something Paul wrote down. And in this word of God, the message is, it's not the rule, it's the gospel. Don't change or give up the gospel. Because you can have all the laws you want. And if you remember, the Jewish people did that, right? It went from the Decalogue, called the Ten Words, we also know them as the Ten Commandments, to by the time Jesus is born, there's over 300 and some laws and rules. And they hammered out so many things that aren't even in the scriptures. And this became the right and wrong. And by the time Paul is given this word from God, there starts to be other influences into the Christian congregation that says, you need to change, you need to upgrade, you need to update what y'all are meeting for and what you believe and what you value. So God tells Paul, and the sense of writing this down is what you have on the back of the bulletin. In Colossians chapters 1 and 2, lay the foundation for coming to the point that it is always, remember the thing, if you, pastor asks you a question, it's either God or Jesus, right? That's the answers. But, you know, it is and will always be about Christ. And if your starting point is not there, you will always be in trouble. You will always have hardship because nothing else helps. Now, you would think God's people would have known that. But let's go back in time. It's not in today's Old Testament reading, but in the days of Moses. God was visiting with Moses on Mount Sinai. And while Moses was up there, do you remember what the people did? They made a golden calf. Yeah, so you know this part. Yeah, they made a golden calf. They got away from God's way of deliverance, and they started to fashion their own. Many years later, Jesus is born, and King Herod tries to kill him. The temple leaders try to undermine everything he says, trick him, con him, get him to make a mistake, and ultimately, they even have to lie to get him killed. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. And now the disciples are sent out. Pentecost has happened. And you have this message of the gospel about Jesus Christ here, Jesus Christ suffers, Jesus Christ dies, he is crucified, Jesus Christ alive. And that became the core of what pointed back to the Old Testament to help put things in perspective, and it is the core by which, not only in the early Christian church, but in our day, we want to look forward. It is always about Jesus. And in a sense, something that we don't want on TV, the reruns, in the sense, in the house of God, it's the only thing we want. So what's the rerun message? Take a look at your bulletin. Paul tells us, this is God speaking through Paul, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The reason we believe is an act of God. What we believe is the truth of God. And the fact that we stay with that truth is the work of the Holy Spirit connecting us, uniting us to Jesus. The gospel is not about a rule, it's about the truth. And this truth will never change. It isn't up for a vote, which is very trendy. It isn't for, you know, the multiple choice questions in school. It isn't one of the multiple choice, and you can pick any E, all of the above. The truth of the gospel is forever. And God's people, our foundation is that truth. Paul tells us, you don't want to get away from that. You want to stay with that rerun message. You don't want to get caught up in any new message, any new thinking, any other sort of worldly commercial. You don't want to turn away from that. And instead of saying reruns on TV, Paul tells us what it is. He says, and you look at that. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, empty deceit, human traditions, elemental spirits, which can also be translated elementary principles. When we see the word spirit, sometimes we think of ghosts, you know, or evil spirits and things like that. But it is the things of this world, tangible and intangible, that attract us. Did you know the Bible never says there's Mother Nature? And yet it's part of our common vocabulary. Did you know that talking about Mother Nature in that way is actually false doctrine? Whoops. Sticking with the gospel, everything builds from there. God so loved the world, not because we were good. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. This centrality of Christ crucified, Christ alive, is the foundation and the mission of the church. And the ways in which we live it out, the ways in which we worship, there's more than one worship service. You know, in our hymnal, we have five in the front, right? Then we do a printed service. You know, and some churches have like a praise band, and there's contemporary music. But if the substance is changed for feel-good message, if what is being done is for entertainment purposes, then you have strayed from the very thing the Word of God says, don't change. You have strayed from the truth that is God's truth, that there is no life, there is no forgiveness, there is no hope apart from Jesus. So we don't know specifically which false doctrines Paul was addressing. We do know in history what kinds of false teachings were around. But when we think about today, this Word of God applies today, there are still false teachings around, aren't there? You know, the biggies is creation versus evolution, right? Sexual identity. About faithfulness in marriage. You know, there's all kinds of things that we are challenged by today that the world says, try it and you'll like it. And the reality, like the old commercial, I tried it, I thought I was going to die. Because the consequence of sin exactly does that. It destroys us. It crashes our walk with Christ and our hope. It shatters all that God in Christ has established, and it attacks that. And Paul reminds us, don't be caught up in the things of today. Because on the day of judgment, they won't be there. He goes on to remind us that as we take a look at this, he says, you know, you have been changed so you don't have to get caught up in those things. You have been filled. This is verse 10. You'll see it at the top of the next column. You have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. And if there's any craving that that Bible verse attacks right away, it identifies right away, is something that humanity, according to their sinful nature, wants to be. We want to be in charge. When we're kids growing up, we tell mom and dad, I can't wait to get out of this house. I can make my own rules. Yeah, right. You know, we are so silly as a creature, aren't we? And then, you know, if I was the boss of this factory line, I wouldn't do it that way. And then if I owned this company, I wouldn't do it that way. And we act like we have the wisdom and the knowledge and everything we need to recreate and make new rules that would make our life so much better. And Paul reminds us that any time we start making those kinds of decisions, whether they're moral value statements, eternal truth statements, moral laws, if you will, and we stray away from God says in Christ, we will always be in trouble because it is Jesus who is the authority. In the scriptures, we are reminded why, in a sense, Christian worship is reruns. We sang that hymn last month. You know, I've actually heard that. Yeah. And I remember, of course, some of you are newer, but you remember the old Lutheran hymnal? You had page 5, page 15. If it was page 15, you had communion. Service always seemed twice as long. Page 5 was shorter, you know, and it's like, man, there's no other way to worship. And then when they brought in the other hymnals, people went, no way, you know. And some people were going, yes, but it didn't take too long after the introduction of the other hymnals. People said, LW again, Lutheran worship, right? And then there was LBW before that, Lutheran Book of Worship. And now, in our ministry time, we have LSB, Lutheran Service Book. You know, and the intentions, if you're looking at your hymnal, you ever notice that all the liturgy has Bible verses next to it? It is meant to feed you again and again and again. And the act of worship is a way in which your body spiritually lifts up your heart and your mind, just like your hands do with a fork and a knife, and you feed your mouth at least 3 times a day, you know, again and again, you put that nourishment. How come we don't complain about how we have to eat and bring that food up, and yet we complain about worship? Isn't it amazing? God feeds you because he loves you. God points you to Christ because in him is life, and apart from him is nothing. And God tells you this again and again and again. Why? Because I think, well, at least some of you are just like me. I need reminding. Where did I put my keys? Where's my cell phone? Where's this? Where's that? I have a library full of books. Let's see. I'm looking for this binder. It's on. I've lost more things than I can count. We need reminding that there's something that Jesus has done so that we aren't lost. We need reminding so that we know we're never disconnected from the Father. We need reminding so that we know the guilt, we don't have to hold on to it. Our sins are taken away. We need reminding of what it means to be alive in Christ every day until he comes. Reruns in the church are awesome. Amen.